on 882 6PR. Keeping you company overnight, John Lewis.
We're talking health and fitness, and in particular, how to burn fat. You probably exercise, you do those little things that we do to burn a bit of fat and exercise, and it doesn't seem to go away. You ride your bike, you go for your walks, you go to the gym, you do those cross trainers. None of it really seems to make the fat go away, particularly in those areas that you most want it to leave you, like perhaps your stomach, maybe the belly. Why won't it ever leave the areas we'd like it to leave? I thought to help us out and to guide us with the latest information from someone who really knows what she's talking about is four times Miss Britain and IFBB professional athlete Lindsay Beattie joining us. Hello, Lindsay.
Hi, John. How are you?
Well, I'm well. And you were the person that I spoke to when I was achieving my body shaping challenge, my personal six pack. You guided me very well. And I thought that you'd be the perfect person to talk to about losing fat. It seems to stick, doesn't it? And we do our exercises, we go for our bike rides and things, and none of it seems to go away. First of all, Lindsay, what big mistake do we make when we're trying to make the fat go away, and why doesn't it leave?
Usually, everybody does, maybe they do a bit of cardio, or they'll do a bit of diet, or they'll do something, but what they're not doing is they're not doing it all together. I mean, it normally takes a good diet, healthy diet, eating regularly to speed your metabolism, and the exercise as well. Now, a lot of people just do one thing and hope it's going to burn the fat, but then they don't do the rest. So you do need to incorporate the training, the cardio, and the food intake, and regularly keeping it up to burn the metabolism, so the metabolism keeps burning. And they're the main things you need to do. Also, just making sure that you drop out any, you know, a lot of people think that they do a lot of training and that, and they have a few drinks at the weekend, you know, glasses of wine. So usually that type of thing, if you drop all that out as well, that will help to bring that fat loss down as well.
How much of a difference does a couple of drinks have at the weekend? And are we kidding ourselves with a couple of drinks? Is it actually a lot more than that?
Well, yeah, it just depends on what you're drinking, really, because obviously alcohol contains a lot of sugars. And so if you're having, say, a couple of bottles on a Friday and a Saturday night, or beers or whatever it is you drink, and you do that regularly every weekend, then that can, you know, hinder the fat loss. Mm. So if you cut that out, you probably will see them areas coming down a little bit quicker than what they did do.
I had heard a guy that your typical chocolate bar is equivalent to roughly an hour's worth of exercise, cardio exercise. If you did a cardio for about an hour, an exercise bike for about an hour, then you had a chocolate bar, that would almost negate the exercise.
Yeah, it's probably about right, really.
It seems unfair.
Just depending on. Yeah, you can enjoy that chocolate bar so much, but it's going to take you an hour to burn that chocolate bar off.
That's perhaps the best way to look at it, isn't it? If you think of having that can of beer or that glass of wine, it'd probably take you an hour's worth of exercise to make the sugar in that disappear. Or the sugar and fat content to disappear. So that would put you off right there. Lindsay, you mentioned...
Well, put me off.
I know, because you're a very healthy person, and I understand you've just... Congratulations, you've just had a little baby, who I think we can hear chirping there in the background.
Yes, he's literally on my shoulder, so I apologise if he starts crying. I will pop him down and run into another room so he doesn't cry too much.
He's on your shoulders. It's always an exercise with you, isn't it? Everything's an exercise. I love it. When he puts on a few more kilos, you'll think, oh, good, I can start using him for this other exercise now.
Oh, I use him. I do squats and everything in my living room with him, so it's great.
And you've already returned to your six-pack, haven't you?
Yeah, it's not as good as what it was beforehand, but it's back and it's there. You can see it. Mm. It just needs to have a little bit more work on it, and we'll be back to ship shape, back to normal.
Lindsay, you mentioned eat regularly. People, when they're trying to lose body fat, and I always talk about body fat because we don't lose weight, and we'll get on to weight in a moment. When we're trying to lose body fat, to eat regularly seems a difficult thing to understand. To have the extra meals a day, three meals a day, you think, oh, if I want to lose some fat, maybe I'll cut down on my meals. But you say eat more. Right. Well, first of all, why do we have to eat more, and what should we eat?
Okay, so first of all, you need to eat more because you need to speed your own metabolism. Now, you've got to think of your metabolism as like a coal fire. So once the coal fire is starting to go out, you have to add more coal, and it relights the fire. The fire starts burning again. It's the same for your body. As soon as your body starts to deplete with no food, it starts to go down. So as soon as you fire up with food, it starts to fire back up again. That's your metabolism working. Now, when I say eating more throughout the day, I don't mean eating whatever you want. It's got to be pretty clean food, and you don't have to eat a lot. It's only small portions throughout the day. So it's like small snack sizes. So you'd have your breakfast and then a small snack size meal about mid-morning, and then a small lunch, small afternoon little snack, and a small tea. And that spaced out throughout the day will give you enough to speed your own metabolism without actually doing anything. And then when you team it up with some cardio and some training, then this is where the fat loss will happen. And I understand that many people, they think the more that they eat, the more weight they're going to gain, but it isn't the case. And it's basically just knowledge and letting people know the less you eat, the more fat your body will store, which sounds really mad, but it's how it works. Mm. Your body stores fat when it's not being fed.
The less you eat, the more it stores.
Yes, because what basically happens, your body goes into like a starvation mode, and it retains any fat from the food just in case it has a meal missed or you don't get fed for a while. And what it does, it uses that stored fat as energy so you can get through the day. Now, what it doesn't do, it doesn't use all that stored fat. And if you do that on a regular basis, the stored fat that it doesn't use keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger and just keeps getting, you know, more stored on top and more stored on top. And this is where people go wrong, and they say, I only eat twice a day and I put on loads of weight, or I don't lose any weight. This is the reason why.
I guess really what we could do is we could look at our food intake for the whole 24 hours and say, rather than having that in the two or three meals that we may have in the day, spread that out. What's the best?
It doesn't matter. You can have five or six. It doesn't really matter. Whatever suits you. Because some people, they will have, they'll have six meals and they'll feel fine. Some people will have six meals and feel really, really bloated. So that's no good. So drop a meal out and have five and spread it out throughout the day. And that might work for a lot more people. It depends on the person and depends on how their body utilizes the food.
I really want to understand these six meals. I'd have my meal for breakfast, and that only needs to be enough food to get me through for the next, I'm guessing, about three hours.
Yeah, that's right, 2.5 to 3 hours. And then you'll have another little small meal, which is usually a little snack or something. And that'll get you through the next 2.5 hours to 3 hours, and then a lunch, the same again. The process goes all the way up until you go into bed, really.
Right.
Now, a lot of people don't like to eat before they go to bed, and that's fine if you've had the right amount of food throughout the day. Whereas myself, I will eat before I go to bed. I'll have a whole pot of cottage cheese before I go to bed because the protein content in it, and it's a slow release as well, so it releases throughout the night as I'm sleeping, and it's low fat, so we're not gaining any fat, plus it releases slowly throughout the night where I'm sleeping, and I'm still being fed. So when I wake up in the morning, I am ready then for food.
I quite like the idea of some cottage cheese before going to sleep. How soon would you go to sleep after eating that? Would you give yourself an hour, 2 hours, or would you literally eat it and brush your teeth and slip into bed?
Yeah. I bet my cottage cheese, when I'm getting ready for a show, my cottage cheese with pineapple in of a night time is like a lovely treat for me, and I eat that whilst I'm in bed. So as soon as I've got ready and have that, brush my teeth, and off I go to bed. You don't have to wait, just go sleep.
Does the sugar content of the pineapple, is that an issue, or have you literally just got a few pieces really, in there as a hint?
Yeah, it's not a big issue. I wouldn't go mad. I wouldn't worry about it too much. And if you are worried about it, just stick with plain cottage cheese. But me, personally, it just gives it... If you're on a really strict diet when I'm getting ready for competition, a little tiny bit of sweetness within the diet is really nice. And so at the end of the day, when I've been really dieting hard, that cottage cheese with the pineapple is like a dessert, shall we say. That's what it tastes like. So I enjoy it, and it doesn't do me any harm, put it that way.
We should point out too, Lindsay, that As you progress into a more healthy diet, and I use that word carefully because it has a lot of negative connotations, healthy, for some bizarre reason. But literally, as we go into a more efficient diet, a more efficient eating plan, our understanding of food flavors change and we start to appreciate the sweetness of foods that we didn't notice before. So it is actually a lot simpler to give up the sugars and give up the fats and the creams because they no longer have the impact they once did.
That's right. Once you clean your body out of everything, and when you do introduce natural sugars, like for instance in pineapple or any type of fruit or anything like that, you will taste it so much more sweeter than it used to taste beforehand. And it does. I mean, you do appreciate, you know, it more when you do have it. But also when you do have, for instance, like a little cheat meal and you are going to have a dessert, you probably find that you can't finish that dessert anymore like you used to be able to because it's so sweet. Mm. It makes you feel a little bit sick, to be fair. So you can't normally finish it off and enjoy it too much because it is overly sweet. You're not used to taking in the sugars.
And Lindsay, we also hear about carbohydrates a lot, when to eat them, when not to eat them, and some sneaky carbohydrates like carrots that we don't really think qualify. But what is this carbohydrate thing? What's it doing to our body?
Well, you need carbohydrates because that's the energy source that you need to function, basically. And I say to everybody to have a healthy food plan or a healthy diet, or however you want to say it, you should always have an amount of carbohydrates within each meal. And it's basically like a chain. So you have your protein, your fats, and your carbs. And once the chain's broken, it doesn't function properly. If you take out carbs, you don't function as well. And so carbs are there to basically get you through the day. You can get through the day on just protein and fats, but you have to not be knowledgeable on what you're eating to make sure you're getting enough food from the enough fats from your food, and make sure that the fats that you are taking in are good fats and not bad fats.
I've heard avocados are good fats.
Yes, avocados are very good fats, but they contain a lot of fat. And people think, "Oh, it contains so much fat, I'm not going to eat it." Well, that's where they go wrong, because it actually contains good fats, which you can get away with eating. But if you're going to have something like that, and say an avocado salad, then I would make sure that the carbohydrates that you were really low, because you don't want to take on too much fat from both fats and the carbohydrates. So it's basically trying to figure out what's best in every meal.
And
it's always handy if you've got somebody to do a plan for you.
That was one of the things I loved about my health challenge, is I called it my no-brainer. Because I asked for the advice of people like yourself who just exactly told me what to do. And it's kind of like, it seems funny we should say, use the word cake. It's kind of like baking a cake. You have a recipe and you just do these things. You don't stray from the recipe and you will get the result. And it sounds like we're talking about the sort of things that might tip the scales towards the negative. And when we drop the plan, when it's the weekend, we'll say, all right, well, I will have a drink, which you could almost equate to an hour's worth of exercise, which might turn you off that drink a little bit. But it seems so unfair that that's the case. And the dessert, if we remove the dessert from the meal, there's a huge advantage right there.
Yeah. But also, you've got to remember as well, you have to enjoy your life as well. So, you know, unless you're competing for a competition, there is no point in going to the degree of like I do, and not enjoy your food as well. So what I say for your normal people, as I put them, and not people who are getting ready for a competition, I would always say to them, eat clean, and on a Wednesday and on a Saturday, have a nice cheat meal that you enjoy. Something that you enjoy, whether it's a nice, I don't know, steak or a nice burger or something like that. That's, you know, relatively okay, not too fatty. But something that you enjoy, and if you want a little cake with it, fine, because the rest of the week you're eating really clean. And so what happens when you have your cheat meal, your body will automatically burn it off anyway, because your metabolism is on fire, because you're constantly feeding it. So even on, for instance, when you have your cheat meal, you will burn that off because of the way your body is reacting to the food.
Because of your metabolism.
Anyway.
I love that analogy you started off with the coal fire. So like a steam engine with lumps of coal going into the furnace. If it's a small fire burning and we throw in a whole lot of food, a whole lot of coal, it'd almost put that fire out, but certainly it wouldn't burn and it'd get stored up equivalent as fat. But if that fire's burning beautifully and we throw just a little bit on, that gets burnt up and you've got all this energy, which of course gives you the opportunity to then do some of that wonderful exercise and burn off some of the fat.
Mm, that's right, and that's how your body works, really. Well, as long as you follow the plan, then you can, if you follow that plan to a T, then you can have little treats and it won't affect you at all because your body will just burn it off anyway. So there is always a little bit of luxury, even if you are really going for it, you know, to get your six pack or whatever it is you're trying to do. There's always, you know, you can still have the little treats now and again.
That's right.
As long as you don't go overboard.
Well, that's it. And I think I often believe, though, when you start, it's best to start with less treats until you get into the habit. Just briefly, before we run out of time, Lindsay, and I understand when we're losing body fat, we tend to think of it as weight. So we go on the scales and we think, I've done all this exercising. Like my darling wife is on her bicycle every day, riding her bike, and she says, I haven't lost any weight. I'm still the same weight as I was. Now, I try and convince her that her muscles have probably got bigger and the fat's decreased. So therefore, the weight has stayed the same because muscle is actually quite heavy.
That's right. And that's basically what it is. And I always say to people, don't weigh yourself. Get a tape measure out instead. And you will start to see your body changing in clothes and stuff like that, more so than on scale. Now, when I'm getting ready for a competition, I could be really low body fat, say, in, I don't know, 7% body fat, which is very, very, very low. But I will weigh heavy. I will stand on a scale and I will be a lot heavier than somebody of my height and weight anyway, of my same structure. I will weigh in heavier because my muscles are a lot more dense than body fat. So when you're losing body fat and you are doing, for instance, if you are on your bike, you are building your leg muscles. Now, your leg muscles are your big muscles in your legs. And once they start getting a little bit heavier, it's going to sort of tally out, really. So you're going to have your fat loss, but it's then going to be with your muscle gain, it's going to even out. So I always say, get your tape measure out and measure around different areas than standing on the scales. And a lot of ladies, they like to see the weight coming down off the scales, but it's not always necessary. If you've got a nice tiny waist and your clothes are perfectly fitting and you're in the best, you know, you've got the clothes that you really want to wear and you've been trying to get in them and you've now got in them, but you weigh heavier, does that really matter? I don't think so. I think as long as you have come down in body fat, you know, your body's getting toned. And if your body's toned, I think you'd prefer a toned body over a fatter body.
I'd just like to be able to wear some of the clothes that I could wear when I was slimmer, and that's an advantage too. You can get into your slimmer clothes. Now, Lindsay, for those people who take it to the extreme, and they look for supplements, they look for protein powders. And I actually find, even if you're not going to the extreme, protein powders are so convenient. I always take some with me to work because if I'm hungry, the idea that I can mix some powder into a water and drink that knowing that I've had something positive for my body without resorting to a chocolate bar, which is going to just simply add fat. But for you, I know your sponsor is Extreme Nutrition Supplements.
That's right.
What do you look for in supplements?
Well, what you need to look for, and it's hard because if you don't know what you're, if you just, you know, you just go into a health food shop and you are looking for a protein drink to take, there's so many on the market, you do not know which are the best. And it doesn't mean the most expensive one is the best, but so you need to ask the person who's behind the counter which is the best one, obviously. What you're looking for is a high-quality whey protein, and that's all you really need. Now, if you want to have it as like a more of a meal replacement, then you'll need a whey protein which also has carbohydrates in it as well. But if you're not looking for something like that and you just want something in between, just a protein source, a good quality whey protein is all you need, really.
Very good. And, of course, we say thank you to Extreme Nutrition, your sponsors, looking after you. And they must be pretty good if you're consuming their wonderful product to get you back into shape, six-pack, and you've got your baby there.
Yeah, I've been with them for quite a long time now. And their products are very kind, and also they're very good for you when you're pregnant. And I use them all the way through my pregnancy when I could and when I wasn't feeling a bit sick. I use them then, and I use them straight after. So they are very mild, and they are very good, and there's no harsh things in there that's going to affect you, even when you're pregnant. So it was all really good all round.
Good for you, Lindsay. Appreciate your health and your advice that you're sharing with us, your health advice you share with us this morning. Four times Miss Britain and IFBB professional athlete, and we can find you on the website as well. I think, what was that one, Miss Britain?
It's lindsaybeattie.com.
Mm-hmm. Lindsaybeattie.com.
You can also, that's right, you can find me on Facebook or Twitter.
There you are, ready for action. Thank you for your time, Lindsay, and I hope we get to talk again soon.
Yes, you will do. Thanks very much for having me, John.
Good on you, Lindsay. Lindsay Beattie joining us this morning. How to lose body fat. We'll get her back on the program again soon, I'm sure, just to talk about more, because there is still more to understand. But I love the idea that there are such simple, sensible ways of losing body fat. And does it seem conceivable to you that a chocolate bar can equate to an hour's worth of exercise? It doesn't even seem fair. But when you start to understand that, and you've done your exercise, and you say, oh, I think I deserve that chocolate bar now, well, how does that work out?